Let me pray and we'll jump right into a message called You Asked for Easy, But You Got a Calling. God, we thank you so much for today and this opportunity we have to worship you. I'm so thankful that you brought us to this place. And some of us, we come in here with joy-filled hearts, and other of us barely made it, hanging on by a thread, uncertain about tomorrow. And no matter how we came into this space, you have something for each of us through your word, not through me, through your word. And I just thank you for the promise that your word never goes forth and returns void. And we just pray that you would give us willing hearts to hear your voice, to hear your word, willing hearts to let you soften them and mold us into who you want to be. And for those of us that need a little encouragement today, a little hope, a little light, I pray that that would shine through. You are the hope of the world. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And we are eternally grateful. In Jesus' name. Well, welcome to our series, and welcome Tremont. Good to have you guys on here for our very first Christmas message this year. And the title of this message is called, You Asked for Easy, But You Got a Calling. I wish Christmas was easy. I'm finding it not to, I thought it would get easier by this point because I have less little rugrats to wrestle around. My kids are a little more mature and should be a little easier, but I just found that every age brings all kinds. Some of you are like, duh, we've been trying to tell you, man. Like, every age brings just a different type of challenge, and we love them dearly, but it's just an ongoing adventure. I wish Christmas was easy, but it's not. It's not easy for me. I was charged with decorating the outside of our house, and I waited too long, and it snowed, and it was the coldest day of the year, and I'm pulling out Christmas lights from our storage containers from last year, which, by the way, all worked when we put them in the storage container. Nothing got into the storage container. They're plastic containers that snap shut. So I'm like, how in the world has every single strand that I pull out only half work? I'm serious. None of them worked, the whole strand. And I was like, I'm not doing. I know that there is somebody at some Christmas-like company. I'm sorry if you work there. I'm sure it's not you, but somebody is sabotaging strands and they're like, oh, these are going to work for 4 to 6 weeks and then never work again. Somebody's doing something. So I was like, I'm not letting them win. So in 20 degrees weather, I'm sitting on the front porch. My kids have quit on me. I'm out there trying to replace, like ChatGPT says, well, you got to replace each bulb to find the one circuit that's, yeah. Like, I got to like 90 and I'm like, that's it. Let's go to Dollar General, which apparently sold out of Christmas lights because everybody's Christmas lights don't work. I found a spot. Took 3 days. I'm not telling you where that spot is. Okay, so I want Christmas to be easy. I wish it would be, like, there's no other time of year that I'm just like, man, I wish this was just a peaceful time of year. I wish it was just smooth. I wish I was ahead of schedule and on time and had all the shopping done and all the gifts done. I wish it wasn't a time of year where money seems more stressful. And I don't know how, but it seems like I have less of it all of a sudden. It's a time where relationship conflicts flare up and families, there's awkward stuff going on. And you probably wish Christmas was easy too, but you're probably carrying your own set of burdens that remind you that this season is anything but easy. It's complicated. And some of us, we carry deep loneliness that flares up during this season of our lives. And some of us, Christmas never looks the same because somebody is missing around the table at dinner. And some of us carry in deep grief and uncertainty about our future. And some of us are carrying into it medical stuff that we just don't know about or diagnoses that we just can't deal with right now. And there's just question mark after question mark and complexity after complexity and uncertainty kind of looms, and I hope that's not you. I hope Christmas is easy. But for a whole lot of it, it's complicated and it's not easy. We want easy, but the gift that we get is a calling. And that's exactly how the Christmas story begins. But before I get to that, maybe you're confused about what a calling actually is. See, I think sometimes we think a calling is something that God gives to people in his world and church and kingdom that do really big things. Calling often gets attached to like what I do and my job or a missionary going to another field. We think calling is about what those people who do church or work on a team or lead a group have on their lives. But that's not it at all. Calling is not something that is only reserved for the qualified or the committed or the people who know all of the stuff or the people who are super spiritual and the people who don't curse when their Christmas lights don't work and the people that have it all tied together. And that's not what a calling is. A calling is the place where your life meets God's purpose. And just to be really clear, God has a call for you. Your life, whatever uncertainty you're carrying, whatever struggle you are bearing, whatever questions you have unanswered, God has a calling for you. I'm not ready though. Unfortunately, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Being ready is not the qualification. God calls the unready. It's uncomfortable. It's messy. And he is calling you. Mary shows us what a calling looks like in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. 28. That's a little number. And if you want to follow along in your Bibles, you can. If you need a Bible, we give away Bibles every week. There's usually Bibles stacked in the back on the shelf. And if there's not, there will be by the end of the service because our team is awesome. And if you want to follow along on your phone, I use the YouVersion Bible app, which is way better than whatever Bible app the other Josh offers to you all. Mine comes with all kinds of devotionals and whatnot. It's not mine. Like, I don't own it. I just use it. It says this. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town called Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, this Mary was poor. She was a teenager. She was from a little tiny town in an unknown place, insignificant in the scheme of what was happening in the world. Just a little tiny town, smaller than the size of Cressona or Tremont or Orangeburg. Little country place. This woman, this child, this teenager named Mary, she was ordinary. There wasn't anything spectacular about her in and of herself. There wasn't anything that she brought to the table that was special. We know of Mary that she was just a faithful kid. She just was trying to follow God. This Mary wasn't spectacular in any sense of the word, but in verse 28, it says, the angel said to her, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. My guess is that maybe your evaluation of your life standing is that you're just kind of ordinary. In all the good ways, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to like, maybe you're not from anywhere real special. Maybe you've never accomplished anything real big. Maybe USA Today, is that even a thing anymore? I don't watch the news or read it much. Nobody's mentioning your name anywhere. It's not like you walk into a room and everybody goes, ooh, look who's here, you know, like. But you are highly favored. And maybe that's what makes the biggest difference in life, when things aren't easy, but you have a calling anyway. It doesn't matter what you do or where you're from or how good you are, what your education is or what your job is or what people say about you or how fancy your life looks. What's so absolutely intriguing about the start of this story of hope for the world is it's not flashy. It's not extraordinary. It starts in the ordinary, a calling on a life, but that life was highly favored. God favors you. And that messes with some of your idea of who you are and who God is. Because you think God's angry at you or disappointed in you or ready to smack your hand with a ruler if you mess up. You think God is some distant and far off person, like some bearded fella in the sky, just unconnected with your life or not paying attention. We think God has bigger things to be concerned about or better stuff to do. Yet he favors you. It says in Psalm 90, 17, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. And it followed up Psalm 5, 12. You surround the righteous with your favor like it's a shield. Those of you who have placed faith in Jesus, you are righteous before God, and man, you are highly favored. And the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words, you think? Talk about a jacked up interruption to your day. It's like, man, what happened last night? Is this some sort of like hallucination? Is my brain tweaking out on me? Is this real? Like, she had plans. She had good plans. She had the plans every young kid dreams about. Like, I'm going to get married to this man, Joseph, who I love and adore, and we're going to start a life together, and it's going to be amazing, and we'll build a family. We'll move over here, and you know how we get with plans. We just, like, map it all out, this dream of ours. And then all of a sudden, on some ordinary day, in some ordinary way, to this ordinary young woman, the extraordinary is announced. Not this flashy thing, but God starts big stories in small places. God starts big stories in small places like Tremont, Cressona, Orangeburg, Schuylkill County. God starts big stories in small places like Front Street, Second Street, Norwegian Street. I can't keep guessing streets. Just plug the street you live in, live on in there, because I don't know if these are even streets. God starts big stories in your homes and in your living rooms and around your tables. He starts big stories in your workplaces, and all these small little things that we think are ordinary or insignificant. God starts big stories in small places, and he calls his people long before they ever feel ready. Mary is greatly troubled. This is troubling stuff. And she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I'm with you. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." There it is again. Like, we constantly need the reminder. God's always got to say it twice. It doesn't sink in how favored you are to the God of the universe. How important, how valuable, how much he loves you. It's on repeat. Since we got to get it through our thick skulls and our guarded hearts, God favors you. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Like, Mary's got questions. You would too. How will this be, Mary asked, since the biology doesn't... You know, like, I'm still a virgin. I don't think I skipped a day in health class. I know I pretended to be asleep when my dad gave me the talk. But I don't think this is how it works. And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." God always gives confirmation to the call that he places on your life, and maybe this morning is the confirmation that he's giving you for the call on your life in your moment. It says, "For no word of the Lord will ever fail." And Mary responds, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. God's call shows up in uncomfortable packaging. My old man was the worst at wrapping gifts. And that's what I think of as I think, like, seriously, we would go around the tree and you knew instantly what my father's gifts were. My kids would know instantly what gifts were coming from Pop, because they were either wrapped in a garbage bag, some sort of cardboard paper he found laying around the house with about a pound of scotch tape on it. And not the cute invisible kind, like the light, you know, you see it and it's smacked all over the thing. Or newspapers, and not the fun way to wrap newspapers with, like, the comic book sections. No, you'd be like, there'd be like some weird story on the front, like, perpetrator caught. that's the Christmas, you know, the crime section. For us, it was funny, but it's what I think about when I think about the calling that God gives us, how it's always not wrapped pretty. It's hardly ever wrapped pretty. The calling that God has for you is uncomfortable and messy. It feels like a struggle sometimes. It's not the calling you would have picked or chosen or asked for. It's messy. It's a mess. The reality of God's calling on our life can be a really difficult thing, and Mary was in the middle of that. I mean, this calling, this child was given, and as this was given, the relational conflict flared up for her. The calling comes and things get worse, but it's worth it. You say you're going to follow God, and we hope and think, and we want it to be easy. Like, all of a sudden, things are going to get better, and my marriage is going to work out, and my kids are going to give up their, you know, whatever path they're going on, and my parents are going to, it's just going to be nicer, and people at work are going to love me again, and I'm going to get a promotion because I gave my life to Jesus. Everything's supposed to start working out, but that's not how the calling that God places on your life ever comes wrapped, hardly ever. Sometimes God blesses us first. But a lot of times the blessing comes through uncomfortable packaging as we step into God's calling. And for Mary, it's an example. Like, she gets this calling on her life and her fiance makes plans to leave her. It would take a miracle for that relationship to be restored. You don't think people around town were talking about Mary when she started to show? With no husband? You think people believed the story? Mary said it was God. Would you believe the story? The gossip that would swirl around, the reputation that would have been tarnished. What about the family relationships? You think mom's going to understand that her teenage baby is carrying God's child? Things got worse. The calling comes in uncomfortable packaging. But when you step into God's calling, He is with you. And He brings the peace. And He promises His presence. And you will experience a depth and a beauty to your relationship with God that is hard to explain. When you start to follow Him and the calling He has on your life, when it is messy and difficult and painful and the burden is heavy and you don't know if you can do it. Mary shows us what obedience looks like in this. She asks her questions. She gets some answers. There's a lot of questions left unanswered. She still doesn't know what's happening. She still doesn't have what's going to happen with my relationship. I mean, I would have had like 52 questions just to get started off the top of my head. Like, how are you, what are you going to tell Joseph? Like, do I got to tell him? Like, can you give me a letter? Can that letter be sealed? Do I need to get off social media for a while? Like, how's this? What about my parents? Dad's going to be pretty ticked. And he's probably going to try to shoot Joseph. What are you going to do about that, God? Like, I need answers before I say, yeah, let's go. Let's do this thing. That's how we are. We want the plan. We want 50 steps laid out for us. And it's frustrating because God only gives one step at a time. And here you have a beautiful example of Mary's obedience, how to follow God and step into the calling He has on your life. First, she has the posture of surrender. It's not about forcing my way or what I want, or she doesn't ask the questions, what's this going to do to me? But I worked so hard, but I had such good plans. Her posture when she encounters God and the direction for her life is to surrender. I am the Lord's servant. She trusts. May your word to me be fulfilled. I would have put an asterisk there and been like, may your word, let's just remember that you said you're always going to be with me, you know, that I am highly favored. Like, let's put all those things in the contract. But she just trusts that if God said it, it's going to be done. That if God makes a promise, He will follow through. That if God says your story's not going to end in this disaster or this relationship conflict or the destruction of your family or in your shattered dreams for your future, that if God says that's not how your story ends, then that promise will be true because God said it, and that's not how your story ends. She surrenders, she trusts, and she chooses obedience over comfort. And maybe you're not stepping into your calling today. The plan God has, His purpose where it meets you in real life and in real struggle. Because you are too big in your own heart and in your own eyes. And you can't surrender your plans your ideas. You can't surrender your time, your giftedness, your finances, your relationship, because you are too big and God is not big enough. She takes a posture of surrender. She trusts without all the answers. She's obedient, even though it's uncomfortable. She chooses obedience instead of comfort. And she has courage in the uncertainty, and maybe that's where you're at. You're scared because life is uncertain and you feel all alone. Then let today be the reminder that God's presence is the promise for the calling. He doesn't promise that it's going to be easy. He doesn't promise. There's no speech about how it's all going to work out. There's not a bunch of answers. It's just, I'm with you and you are highly favored. So as the worship team comes out, I just have a question maybe to think about. What's the calling you didn't want? What's the calling, the place where your real life meets God's purpose that you didn't ask for, but that God's given you? Is it a broken relationship that he's calling you to mend? Is it a conflict that he's calling you to be the peace in the middle of? Is it financial uncertainty and he's calling you to trust him? It's a financial crisis that he's calling you to just be obedient, even though you don't know how many tomorrows you have, to just be faithful and to love well. Is it something that you've been holding on to that has been messing with your heart, and God is calling you to open your hand up and release it and give it to him? Is it your identity that he's asking you to trust him with, or your reputation that he's asking you to trust him with? Is it a change? What is the calling that you didn't ask for that God wants to do something in the middle of? Can you be obedient? Name it. Invite God into it. And then pray Mary's prayer. I am the Lord's servant. It's not about me, and I know that he is with me and I am highly favored. I am the Lord's servant. May your word, God, to me be fulfilled. What you want, I'll follow. Where you lead, I'll go. And it's going to be uncomfortable and messy, and I don't want to have these conversations, and I don't want to say these things, and I don't want to get emotional, and I don't want to let my guard down, and I don't want to. But I will, because I trust you and that you are calling me to be the light, to be the hope in these uncomfortable spaces in my life. I give them to you. Could you pray that? God, we thank you so much that you love us and that we are highly favored, that you call us even into the middle of these crazy circumstances, these big messes. It's scary sometimes to follow you, to step out in obedience. It's scary sometimes to step up and be the men you called us to be and the women you called us to be the kind of parents you called us to be the kind of friend you call us to be. It's scary and it's uncomfortable and it's messy. And I pray that you would give courage. Pray that those who have to take an uncomfortable step today would feel your presence. That those whose minds are filled with uncertainty would trust. And we will give you thanks for the calling that you place in our lives. And we will worship you because it's not about us. And we will thank you because you are constantly taking the mess of life and the uncertainty and the disasters that we participate in, and you are drawing good out of them. And we are so thankful that this Jesus, his name was Emmanuel, God with us no matter what. God with us in the depth of it, in the darkness of it, in the confusion of it. And we thank you for Mary's example, her faithfulness to you through difficulty. Help us to follow Jesus and learn to be obedient like that. It's in your name we pray. Amen.